Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
All right. Hey, welcome to Medium Insights Hour, everybody. It's brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation and Signs of Life Radio. So we gather here once a month to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics that are related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. I'm Roman Karpyshka, and as your host, I'm super excited to welcome back Rebecca Ann LoCicero to the show. Rebecca Ann LoCicero is a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation and has a unique way of presenting extremely validating messages. She believes that humor, spirit, communication are not mutually exclusive. She not only provides evidential communication from from deceased, but she's also an expert in psychic intuition. She is an advisor on the advisory board member of the Spirit Alliance for COPE, presented by Yale Mental Health Department, and is the proprietor of the Beyond Center in Vernon, Connecticut, her home base and private office. She's the author of a fantastic book called Living with Messages from Heaven, A Guide to Conversations with the Beyond. Rebecca Ann was recently also featured on the Netflix docuseries Surviving Death. Her website is www.RebeccaAnnLoCicero.com. So it's her name spelled out, Rebecca with two C's, then A-N-N-E, then L-O-C-I-C-E-R-O.com. So ladies and gentlemen, our show tonight, it's commercial free. So that means no interruptions. So sit back. I say this spiel every month, but I love saying it. So sit back, put your feet up, curl up with a nice blanket, pet or loved one, have a drink on us, and let us stimulate your intellect for the next hour. But before we introduce Rebecca, I do want to make a couple of special For Every Family Foundation announcements. Just want to say that, you know, Bob's book is available. It's called The Medium Explosion, A Guide to Navigating the World of Those Who Claim to Communicate with the Dead. It's a guide that for those who have either had a reading with a medium or plan to have one, or just simply curious about what happens after we die. All the profits from the sale of this book are donated to the Forever Family Foundation. And I just, you know, the docuseries that we just spoke about that Rebecca Ann is on, it's still on Netflix. So Bob Ann and the Forever Family Foundation are featured a lot in episode 4. So having said that, I just want to say a couple more things that tonight's show is conducted for research and informational purposes. So your questions are obviously more than welcome, but please keep in mind that Rebecca will not be performing any readings. So for the future shows that we've been, like for this past several shows, we've been bringing questions that you, our valued audience, have been emailing in. And this has been a pretty successful formula because it covers a lot of areas. So we're just going to keep that formula going. So, and of course, if you have any questions for our esteemed guests, please feel free to call 1-888-627-6008. So, Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Oh, well, hello, Roman. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Doing great. Just getting ready for vacation with the family. And we're, you know, looking forward to that.
I have absolutely missed you. So I'm very excited to be on. I can't wait to answer some questions. I'm thrilled. So this is, let's rock this.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So we had, we'll start it off with a question that we got. I'm just going to read these verbatim. It says, "Hi, I just started listening to the show. I'm new to a lot of this. I would like a medium's perspective on what we can do for our loved ones in spirit, like things that make them happy or help them as kind of an extra thank you for sending signs. Also, do you suggest any ways to grow, deepen, strengthen our connections to loved ones in spirit? Thank you. And this question was from Natasha.
Oh, Natasha has a very neat question. Now, really? I have to say, I'm not quite sure I have ever really pondered that to give an answer more than, that's a new one. I'm kind of excited about that.
Natasha, good job. Good job, Natasha. That's a great one.
Good. Natasha has kind of stumped me. I can definitely answer it. I do have a very strong opinion for it. When a lot of times I will read people and they will say that they're praying for their loved ones. And I giggle a little because their loved ones always come back and say, don't pray for us, pray for the living. That was the first thing that popped into my mind was Natasha's question. So then you would have to go a little step further and think, what could you possibly do for them? They don't have a need or a want.
Right.
And I think the only thing that would make them happier would be to have a happy experience or even really any experience with us. So how would we give something to someone? I mean, Roman, what present would you want if you were crossed? Like, the only thing I can think of is I don't think I would be able to take a swig of whiskey when I'm crossed. I won't have lips.
That's pretty funny.
So we won't be able to do the human things that bring us joy. We won't be able to go on a roller coaster. But if we are thinking of our loved ones, mm-hmm. like I tell my kids, okay, I've told my kids this. They don't like the shamrock shakes. I said, when I'm dead, go and get some shamrock shakes. And then I'll possess you one by one and drink them. That way I can have a shamrock shake again. So I would have to say that the simple answer to that would be the only thing that I could think of that would make our loved ones happy would be for us to do things with them in mind, because then they're having an experience with us.
So you're saying that, by thinking about them, they're there with us.
By thinking about them, they are there with us. Correct. It's kind of like calling out a name and they can't ignore it.
Right.
And they don't want to.
That is really deep, because a lot of us think about our loved ones that have crossed over a lot of times, so it's good to know that this that act on our part brings them over. I mean, most
of
us are not median, so we don't see them, but just taking it, hearing it from you means that it's probably that they're there, but it's just, we don't have the ability to perceive them. Whereas, somebody like you does.
Yeah. It's kind of like they're always at the window looking at us. And right. If we're not looking at the window, maybe we don't know that, but the second we go and look out the window, they're there.
No,
it's impossible almost for them to not connect when they are thought of. It's like part of their soul to recognize and acknowledge when they're being referenced.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you said in your explanation that people that have crossed over, spirits, don't have wants or needs on the other side. That is something, I think that's the first time I heard something like that.
And oh!
I would think that, I mean, here on Earth, wants and needs is kind of a driving force to get you to the next thing, or the sense of accomplishment, or just going to achieve towards a goal. I know it keeps me going. So if you don't have wants or needs when you've crossed over, what's the motivation? Like, why? It's kind of
imagine the concept of peace without having to have motivation.
Mm-hmm.
It's peaceful. It's not peaceful like we think. We think peaceful as quiet or content, the beach, the ocean, peaceful, like a bird flying through the sky, peaceful where, wars end, things fall, peaceful like after a thunderstorm. I think that when we think of the word peaceful as far as people crossed over, we need to consider what would make a soul at peace. We hope that they have no worries, no fears, no anger, no angst, no depression, no hurt, no pain. We watch our loved ones, you know, or we think of our loved ones, no matter how they crossed, as being in some sort of transitional pain. And that may be very true, but when we cross over, it's almost as if the contentment and the peace and the lack of need comes because we have a sort of peace and understanding. It's like we know why.
Right.
And then we can expand on that. So it's like a natural expansion.
Wow. It's a different way of looking at things, because I know for myself, I'm not very good to be at peace. I'm always driven to do something. I get bored very easily. I can't just sit and, you know, stare at a waterfall for hours or whatever.
No.
just the way that I am.
Me neither.
I cannot imagine just, you know, and I'm told that, you know, when you're in heaven, it's not, you know, you're not stroking a harp, you know, flying around with wings.
No.
Definitely not like
that. And you're not stuck at a waterfall for hours on end either. I think, you know, I think people sometimes say, do they have any baggage? Or is there anything that they left behind that they need to take care of, like an unsettled soul? Right. And honestly, I really believe that the only baggage that they have is us. So if there was a want or a need, it would be for us to be okay and for us to be happy. And sometimes that's very difficult, especially if the loved one who crossed is the one who left us unhappy.
Right.
So it's, you know, if they've done something to us or something we can't get over, something unsaid, some unfinished business, things like that. But they don't hold that. So sometimes we hold that kind of an energy for them. That could be, you know, we as a medium, I often hear them say things that would relate to, it would relate to them being like, oh, I want you to make sure that you follow through with my wishes and give my daughter that ring, or, you know, things like that. Like, they'll remind you of the human things. Mm-hmm. So we can relate to what they humanly were when they give messages through, validating messages about what they were here.
Right.
However, the concept of the soul not needing or wanting anything is much, much bigger than what we know of them connecting to us. So,
right. So let's say they're completely at peace and everything is taken care of. All issues have been resolved. You know, everything. You know, there's no issues with any of us remaining here on Earth or whatever. What would drive somebody on the other side, a spirit on the other side? What occupies their time? What do you think they're doing? Like, what have you heard?
What have I heard?
Yeah.
Okay. So I will say this. I do not have any complete concept at all of what is over there, because I think it's just an endless type of expression. But I've heard a couple of different things. So one woman did ask me, how do I know that he's with her? Where is he? So to start with that, the way that this husband who was deceased described to me how he was here with his wife still, he talked about, you know, he almost said it in a poem. So I'll try to say it back to you.
Okay.
Because the soul doesn't just get to say hello. When they come through and say hello to us, it's almost like a soul adventure of energy. So I would have to say, if you could translate them saying hello to us to them also being able to do other activities here. So he said he was the sun that shined on the earth. He said he was the warmth within the air that hit the grass. He said he was the dew on the grass that came from the moisture from the sun and the air. And within all of that and all at the same time, he was the earth that drank the water from the dew and the roots of the trees who drank the dew through the ground to his leaves. And that he was the pigment of the colors in the leaves as they glistened in the sun, as the sun's rays, which he was within, shined upon his wife.
Well, that's very poetic.
Right. But it also means he was a part of everything, and he could be if he wanted to. And it was very neat. So maybe I would like to be an owl flying over the Grand Canyon, or maybe I would like to be that ever-present fly on the wall for those great conversations, or maybe there's something else outside and beyond the earthly plane that we don't know yet that gives them joy. Roman, the only other example I can give you is somebody told me once that they didn't know how to garden. And I said, well, they needed to go and channel somebody who did. And she said, who? And I said, well, my grandmother used to garden. Why don't you go channel her? And I thought for a moment how exciting it must have been for my grandmother to send down some gardening energy to my girlfriend during that conversation. So I think that they have the ability also to share things that they may have learned or experienced with those of us still here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
In some ways. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Let's go to another listener question.
Okay.
This one is, and I'll read it again. Hello, looking forward to the radio tonight. I keep learning that we need to raise our vibration to connect with spirit. Who has to lower their vibration? Could you please describe the best way to raise our vibrations to connect with spirit? That's
oh my goodness. I don't agree with the whole concept. So I will do my best with that one.
Okay.
I have never raised or lowered my vibration and experienced any difference in my communication, not with my loved ones or anyone else's. I think that we need to pay attention and not be distracted. But I think that that's an incredibly good question that I still am asking. How do you raise your vibration? So I have seen and heard that when physical mediumship is at play, it is good to sing and to kind of like, you know, bring that music on, Roman. You got to get that vibration going. If you're going to raise vibration, then let's start playing a song or playing your tune or getting the beat going. And does raising your vibration mean raising your blood pressure? Does it mean... Do you know what I mean? Because that's what people think. And then some people will say, so if you're vibrating that high, then spirit can come in and woo, it can fly right through thought. No, I'm not even calm. Okay, so lower your vibration then. But then I'm like, okay, am I meditating? Am I sleeping? Can I get... And I think if spirit is going to talk to you, it's almost going to be completely different for every person. I don't think there's a raising or a lowering or of a vibration for you to link on to something that is within the essence of perfection in their soul. I mean, when we're crossed over, if you want to talk to me, I don't think I have to raise my vibration or lower it in any direction to hear you.
Now, I think we all have a bit of mediumship capabilities, and just, you know, people like yourself are much more developed than like people like myself, who are very, very, I mean, I don't even claim to be a medium. Nor did I ever. But
we all can be mediums. I think we all have the ability. Absolutely. But you're right. I understand.
Yeah. So that's interesting. You know what? We have actually a caller. So let's welcome a caller on line one to the show.
Hi, this is Anita from California.
Hi, Anita. And how are you?
Hey, doing well. Hope you are too. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Just a little bit about the folks being on the other side at peace. I know you had the speaker last week, Piero, who was talking about that we can go through different levels. So in that aspect, I guess I've been wondering, maybe they're at peace, but they still have things to do to maybe get to the next level of aspirations, to maybe, I think what you're saying, at a higher maybe soul level that we're... And that they can possibly, I think to your point, I love that poem that you were saying, that we all become part of whatever we may wish to be. Like somebody they want to go on the line, maybe with somebody or a friend or family member that's out on a ski boat or something, that they can hop along in their consciousness with them.
Yes.
At that point, I wonder about prayer for them, only because I had my first medium reading a couple of weeks ago, and I was actually quite surprised because the person relayed that my mom, who had died pretty young, and did my dad, but that she was, that she's reconciled with, you know, they had a great marriage, but she was quite miffed, you know, after, she didn't say why, but that everything is great with her and my dad, but after she had left, that she was a bit perturbed with him. And then another situation, my dad was remarried quite soon after my mom had passed, had relayed something to the effect of being aware of wolves in sheep's clothing. So it's kind of weird.
And yeah, I see where you're coming from. So you kind of had like three parts of an answer, right? I mean, three parts of a question. Mm-hmm. So I'll kind of, I'll come at you with the first one. Anybody who has any expertise, knowledge, or information that they can share for people's higher good, like Pedro last week on the show, I mean, absolutely amazing human being. And I do agree, maybe not for the particular question, as far as lowering or raising your vibrations just to connect with your loved ones. But yes, I do agree that once we're crossed over, there is a higher evolved energy within our soul that is not limited to just this lifetime or this lifetime's experience that may allow our souls to delve into something or to, quote, do something, to be busy within what we consider to be time. They don't really have time there. So, but something like that, but I don't think we could understand what that is in human terms other than to call it levels. So I don't see it as a level, but that's just, you know, different ways of saying lettuce and cabbage. That's all for that. As far as getting a reading and hearing that people have reconciled and that they are now better on the other side, I love nothing more than to bring through parents that have crossed. It's not, I don't want to say it's fun, but it is very exciting and very healing to bring through divorced parents for someone, or remarried parents, or parents who had great relationships, but da-da-da-da-da happened afterwards, you know? When we cross over, we learn a lot of things. We have a lot of understanding. So we understand a lot of whys really quick. So if we were angry or to learn anything, we're over it really quick because we understand why really quick. It's kind of like an awakening to an acknowledgement instead of actually getting over an emotion. It's kind of like an aha moment for us. And I think to say that, you know, they've reconciled is always important. I myself will definitely bring in people with true personality. So if they weren't nice when they were here, I might not bring them through nice. But they'll come through just to validate that they weren't. But then they'll let you know that aside from them true selves, they have reconciled. Sometimes people need to know that their loved ones who, whom, you know, a father and son who maybe were fighting at the time are now both crossed and together. That can be extremely healing. Getting that information across has to include validation about arguments. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, bringing that through. I do not believe anybody over there is ever, you know, hangs on to their own baggage in any way. So.
Awesome. Well, I thank you for answering that question. It's brought me some, not only peace, but clarification. I appreciate your perspective.
Awesome.
You're very welcome. Okay. Thank you for your call.
Yes, you're welcome. Yeah. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And just to embellish on Vanita's point, on the other side, when you're crossed over, I mean, there's some schools of thought saying that there's different levels of or vibrational states depending on how spiritually advanced you are.
Yep.
And you go to different realms based on your vibration. The more advanced you are spiritually, I guess, the higher the realm that you can go to. Most people land between like levels 3 and 4, something like that. I remember reading that somewhere, with 7 being nirvana, like the very top level, which is, you know, you're one with God or something like that. I'm not sure how that goes. What is your take on that?
My take on that would be that a lot of that is divinely regurgitated.
Okay.
I'll give it to you in a backwards example without putting down any religion, including my own.
Okay.
The term soulmate is a beautiful term.
Mm-hmm.
The word twin flame is also a beautiful word. The word twin flame came from a poem. It was written about the undying love between a mother and a son, the twin flame. That was written way back. I would love to be able to quote the poem or who it was by. I want to say it was Aristotle. Like, it was way back then.
Okay.
And then in about maybe the 1870s, I mean, pardon me, the 1970s, somebody came out, and I'm not going to say who the somebody was, but they took that poem and they took that phrase and they translated it. And now I am unfortunately healing a lot of people who are in relationships that they feel that they can't make it work. And this is their twin flame, they were told. And their twin flame that God ripped them in half and threw them to earth and they found each other and they're never going to be complete without each other. Mm-hmm. But yet twin flame was a term written by a poet about a love between a mother and son that got warped and twisted. And there may be something to it. And we may be able to take those words and translate it into something. But there's been too many religious or dogma books that insist that you can't get to some certain levels without being a certain way. And I've never seen it.
Okay. Because, I mean, a lot of people say, well, you know, once I cross over, am I going to, you know, will I be in the same place as Stalin and Hitler? You know?
Yes.
Oh.
I can make people mad with that one.
All right.
Okay. Here's another perfect story. We know that Buddha fell asleep by a tree. We know that he meditated. Forgive me, there is a plane going above my house. So it's going to be loud for 2 seconds, but it's quieter than the dogs inside.
Surprisingly, we don't hear it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Imagine, we know the story. So Buddha was sitting under the tree. He was under the tree for many years. He was in a deep meditation. He didn't wake up until a boat went by and he heard the boat. And when he woke up, he had all these truths and all of this knowledge ready to share with us. And there were so many incredible Buddha vistas and all, you know, temples. And I have a little Buddha statue in my yard myself. However, let's think about who's higher up in heaven. Imagine Buddha is standing in heaven. We're going to think he's at a higher vibration, right, Roman?
I guess. Yeah.
Okay. Imagine Buddha was under that tree and all of a sudden, maybe like 4 or 5 months into his meditation, there's a poisonous snake crawling around. And that poisonous snake sees Buddha under that tree. And you know, if that snake bites him, we're not having any temples. I wouldn't have a little Buddha belly to rub over here. But all of a sudden, these two beautiful, innocent children, brother and sister, come running through the woods. And they say, oh, look at that sleeping man. And then they go, wow, there's a snake right there. Let's get that snake away from him so it doesn't bite him. And they throw rocks at sticks at it. And the snake goes away and Buddha lives. Are those children on the same level?
No. No, they are not.
They're not. But they saved him.
Right.
We have nothing without them.
That is definitely food for thought.
Yeah. That's the only reason why I think there are so many non-coincidental situations within our lives that I have a hard time, you know, and I'm a diehard, you know, my history is Catholicism. So if I was to use another person in that story, I don't know how I would feel either.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah.
We have another listener question here for you.
Awesome. These are challenging. You are challenging me tonight, Roman. What?
This one's actually, I think it's pretty straightforward. Can mediumship skills be learned? Meaning, could a regular person become a medium on their own through work and practice? Or does a person have to be naturally gifted to be a medium?
I do truly believe that anyone who is supposed to or who can and who really wants to do this can. I do.
Yeah, I mean, I think
it takes a lot.
Yeah. I'm sure it does. You know, I couldn't even fathom it. I once went to a mediumship skills seminar, and we practiced, I was holding somebody's ring and I think it's psychometrics, I think it's called.
Psychometry,
yeah. And I guessed the name of the person that gave it to this woman, and I guessed 100% correctly. I said, this ring belonged to John. And like, she freaked out. She goes, that's amazing, because it was given to me by my grandfather, John, who was, you know. And I'm like, I don't know how to this day I thought of John. I mean, John is a pretty typical name.
Yep.
But it's not, you know, there's a lot of typical names, but that's the name. When I held the ring, that's the name that came into my mind, and I just nailed it, you know. Then I said to myself, stop while you're ahead. You know, so right now I'm batting 1,000. I've only done one thing. That's the one and only thing that I've ever done. And it came out good. So 1-on-1. So I like those odds.
Yeah. Okay. I bet you there's a lot more things in your world you're just not admitting to. Trust me. We have it all the time. It happens all the time.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. And a lot of it is very important to believe in yourself, and to believe that, you know, the messages that you're getting, they're not just, you know, thoughts in your head, or, you know, there's so much doubt. You always have the ego creeping up on you saying, this is not real. This is blah, 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 blah. You know, always that, you know, because we're human. We all have egos, you know, and it's,
yes,
you learn to transcend that and really trust in ourselves, I believe.
Yeah. Well, the more you put yourself aside when you're hearing and sharing a message, the clearer the message will be. Right. Yeah. You also then have to, at the same time, honor your own interpretations of what's coming through. Right. I always use the example of smoking. I smoked cigarettes for a very long time. I quit.
Good for you. Me too.
Thank you. However, if somebody was to say to me, oh, I smell smoke, to me, that's like a really good thing. Like, oh, I missed that. Like, oh, he must have really enjoyed that. You know, I don't. And then other people who never smoked and maybe lost somebody to smoking might think of it as like disgusting and death and lung cancer, things like that. So, yeah, you have different visions. Right. You know, when somebody says to me, oh, I'd like to be a medium, and how can I go about this? Because I think that the best thing for somebody to do, if they're feeling that way or want to go in that direction, is to reach out to a medium. And they should reach out to whichever mediums, more than one, that they know, they trust, they've met, they've listened to, and take as much advice as they can. I always direct people to certain books to read and then tell them to come back to me. I always say, you know, go give yourself time and read, you know, A, B, and C, and then come back and let me know where you're at. Because sometimes you just need to have, right, you know, the 101s on different things. Like, this is 101 psychic, 101 mediumship, 101, you know, different directions. Like, these are your chakras and your auras and your think basics.
Yeah.
And I think that alone can wake people up. I find that anybody in a career job, like massage therapy, right down to hairdressers, nail techs, you know, anyone who does any kind of massage or anything with the bodies, they, you know, the more people they touch or come interaction with, and they have to be quiet, like a massage sometimes is just, you know, quiet, no talking. They open up. Mm-hmm. I think another way and time when most other people feel that they're connecting or want to make a difference is when they've lost someone, or they've been within a space of death, or they've maybe had a near-death experience themselves, things like that. But then it comes down to the nitty-gritty. Roman, think of it this way. Can you go to work? This is what I tell them. Can you get up in the morning, put your 7-year-old on the bus, go home, get ready for work, go to work. Read a mother and a father who lost their 7-year-old. And then go home and pick your 7-year-old up off the bus. Can you do it? Some people can't do that. For some people, that might be a little bit too difficult. You can give anybody a piano. Not everybody's going to be Beethoven.
Right.
Some people might just be good enough to memorize every song out there and play it on any instrument. You know, it's where your tone is and where your beat is and where your heart is. And then, honestly, the hardest thing about being a medium, you can never lie.
Right. So sometimes you probably get some messages that maybe you want to not tell people.
Yeah. And spirit will stop if you don't tell them the truth, at least for me.
Right.
I'm known to say a lot, you know, Roman. I'm known to be a little bit blunt.
No, that's fine. That's great. But do you ever find yourself, you know, suppressing information that is like, it's not lying. It's
yes.
just not divulging yes. because it would
painfully
be more painful than good. Yes.
However, I find a way to bring it through. Okay. I will painfully sit with it. And I really cannot hear or receive any further messages until I get it out. Even if it's not, like, I'll even say to people, you don't have to do what your dead people tell you to do. Like, if you didn't like their opinion when they were here, don't ask for their opinion there. Because the only opinion you're going to accept is what you believe they would say. So validation is very difficult if we say something contrary to their personality. And sometimes that's what will happen. I could say, I know you're feeling it this way, but you know what? They're saying this. And I'm going to stick to it. I had a gentleman in the office the other day and he wanted to speak with his dad. I had two dads. I had one and two, and I would not let it go. And you could see his face, and it was even painful for me to say it. And we were actually in a bilingual situation. So I had an interpreter there with me and she kept saying to him, there are two, there are two. And I couldn't go any further until I actually said, I feel like you have two fathers standing with you. Well, come to find out, he was adopted by his father's brother, who was a priest. The guy was raised in a monastery, but he never thought of the uncle as a uncle or a father figure. He always thought of him as a priest. So I'm going, there's a father and a father, a father and a father. Oh, wow. And he's like, I don't get it. I don't get it. But I couldn't not say it. And it was painful for him to think that, you know, his father wasn't, you know, standing up to be that one.
Huh. Now, do you find that when spirits have crossed over, that they retain their same personality for the most part?
That part of their soul that was here, I would hope that when I'm crossed, that this whole life of my soul experiences are with me. They are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I'll still be me there. I think I'll just be more than me. Oh, that could be scary.
Yeah. It's, from many books that I've read on the subject, they say that the next life is more real than this life.
More real. I think that would be, I absolutely agree. More color, more truth, more emotion, more.
Yeah.
I
think we're.
We don't have the limitations to hide.
Of a physical body, yeah, and our brain.
Right. We can't judge. So if you don't have the ability and don't want to judge people, you can see so much more of each person instead of limiting it to what we judge, even if we're open minded. You know.
Right. Right. And you know,
it's kind of exciting.
It is kind of exciting. I mean, I'm in no rush to get there, but. You know,
me neither.
It'll be interesting once we're there, you know. We're here in the physical, right? We have five senses.
Mm-hmm.
Physicists have proven that there's 11 different dimensions, and we only have senses to see three, maybe four if you include time or something like that. So there's a whole bunch that we're just not perceiving. There's a whole bunch of things. And I think maybe one of those dimensions that, you know, some of us are gifted enough, like yourself, to perceive is the communication with the next world. And unfortunately, science you know, the materialistic science, if they can't see it, it doesn't exist, you know, so that's
right. So far, as of yet, right. And at this point, we got to say all those words, making things not concrete. Science will eventually catch up.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And it takes.
They seem a little distracted at the moment. But.
Yeah. But it always takes a paradigm shift to come up with something new, you know? Absolutely. I totally believe in that. So, and I think with the internet and social media and all that kind of stuff, this whole thing about mediumship and spirituality has really, it's done a lot of good for that whole practice. It's put in a lot of advertisement for it, and it's really made it a lot more mainstream than it was 20 years ago. When you know,
big time.
Yeah. Would you agree with that?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I think it gives a bit of a false impression on television, but that's only for people who don't, you know.
Like those.
Maybe they don't realize, you know, but.
Some of those television shows, they just make me laugh. They're creeping in old cemeteries or old prisons using, infrared lights and shining flashlights under their chins.
Mm. But that's all the paranormal stuff. That's all the ghostly stuff. I tell people when I do my work, I'm like, I don't see ghosts. So if you do or I do, let me know. We're all out of here. I'm not, you know, it's when they talk to me, it's like a vibrational language that just seems to come out of nowhere. It doesn't seem to be like an entity or an energy formed standing in front of me. I mean, occasionally I can get a little close, but not that close. I like the television. People will ask me sometimes about TV, you know, and the TV mediums, because I've been watching this for, I've been doing this for my whole life. So, I mean, there was a tarot card reader in Wizard of Oz. That was one of the first things I remember when I was a little kid. I remember I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched, things like that. When I was a kid, they didn't have, you know, I'm 48, so I'm not a young chicken, but then I started watching my kids started getting Wizards of Waverly Place and then Harry Potter. And then, you know, there's all now it's everywhere, anywhere you go. And maybe there was, you know, some of those shows on TV, whether they were real based on real mediums or they were real mediums doing like galleries and stuff and mediums we love. I think it gave people an idea to just get interested.
Right.
I watched it like an addict. I couldn't stop. I would judge everything. I'd be like, what did he say that for? Why did he say that? Where'd that come from? How did he do that? How did he know that?
Like, yeah. I was actually on one of those shows. I was actually on the Long Island Medium, I think end of season 5.
You were?
I was, yeah, with Teresa Caputo. Yeah, I had love reading it. From her. She is amazing, by the way. She's really, really good.
Yes, she is.
I'll tell you one thing, though. That show is heavily edited. I mean, these guys, everything, they can twist anything into anything, you know. But having been there and having seen her in action, Bob was even there with me, Bob Ginsburg. And he kind of gave me a tap on the shoulder and said, man, you got a really good reading. And I go, yeah, yes. She's definitely.
That makes me so happy.
Yeah.
So. I think before Teresa started doing television, maybe like a year or two before, she was in the foundation, of course. And she was, you know, she was doing some readings and she read me and knocked me off my shoes. And I didn't expect it. And she didn't expect it either. And and it was hysterical.
Right.
And I always remember that because, you know, it does. It's unfortunate that once you do appear on television and you do go through an edit, it's amazing to see, you know, you're standing there going, wow, you know, we're all amazed. And yet and then you really don't know. That's the problem. It's when you see something like that, you really don't know if it's real or not. An unedited reading would be longer. It would be more intense, more detailed. But then sometimes you just look at somebody and get 10 or 12 words out and it's the best reading on the planet. No need to edit.
Right. That's absolutely true. No, she was really, really good. The most evidential things that she told me didn't even make it on the show, believe it or not. So I don't know if I would have cut that out, but
yeah,
I'm not an editor, it's to the experts, you know.
And then our show, the Surviving Death docuseries, that made me so happy to be able to do something with Fran and Bob and the gang, and to have that legacy and to be able to say to somebody, you know, yes, there are signs. Yes, there are things. Yes, there are ways to learn, because one of the things I do love to do is to mentor the mediums, not to teach somebody to become the medium, but I am starting to find a lot of joy in even that second level of mediumship and showing somebody how they can build upon. Mm-hmm. I didn't learn, Roman. I'm probably like the worst person to describe how I would have been taught, but I could teach. I don't remember a moment when I couldn't hear or speak or talk to them.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we're almost out of time, but we still do have time for another question from a listener.
Good.
This one's kind of a long one. Okay. So
here
we go. It says, I have, this is from Aurora, by the way. Okay. I have a question for medium Rebecca. I lost a family member a few months ago. When I go to sleep, I usually wish to dream with him, but I only remember having just a few dreams where he is always alive. However, I've noticed that I have been dreaming people that have passed. Even I had a dream with a person I knew many years ago who came to give me words of comfort. And then I Googled this person and found out he had died 2 days before. Do you think these dreams with people have that have crossed have a meaning? Thank you kindly, Aurora.
Oh my goodness. So when she said at the beginning, she had said that she had recently lost who?
It's just a family member. She said, I lost a family member a few months ago.
Okay.
So then I go to sleep and wish a dream. It's some guy. So we know it's a male family member. That's all.
Okay. So to me, just even intuitively listening to the way that she had written down the email question to you, it seems to start with the effect of energy where spirit must have connected with her upon losing her loved one. Kind of like I was saying before, we do wake up our intuition every single time we are within the presence of heaven opening up. And if she was around a loved one and she has lost a loved one, chances are she was within that space. When we sleep and we dream, I'm the first to say I'm not an expert on dreams.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you dream of your loved one, or any loved one, I 100% believe it is always just a hello. Sometimes they give you the comforting messages that you need. And sometimes these loved ones, they come through, and many people tell me they have nightmares with them. I asked Spirit once about that. And I said, you know, why do you come through at all? What is it about, you know, it being a complete hello or a distressed hello? And they say that if we're having a stressful moment at all, that they would rather be in the dream, even if they are presented as the stress, just to try to comfort you than to let you have any other kind of nightmare. They say that if you've had any kind of an influence on their life at all, they'll come through to say hello. So it may not even be Aurora's friend that had crossed the 2 days ago. Before that, it may not have been so much what she thought of him, but him coming through and saying goodbye or hello and goodbye could have been him and how he felt about her. We have to think about it and shift it to the person that we're dreaming about and why they may want to be in our dream while we're in that state, in that place that we can bring them through, not just why, you know, we would want them. And it's always a hello, always. I never think that a dream with a loved one in it isn't the loved one itself. 100% of the time, I believe it's your loved one.
Right. Well, yeah. You know, some people are lucky enough to have lucid dreaming where you know you're in a dream. So you are the master if you know that you're in a, you're dreaming, then hey, let me step off this building because I can fly, you know, and you can do all kinds of stuff.
Hopefully that's only in a dream.
Well, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
I know when I do the, you know, it happens to me once in a while. It's rare. Maybe it happens a lot. Who knows? Because they say you don't remember 99% of your dreams. You'll remember a few of them. The ones that, you know, you were having right before you woke up, you usually remember them. And you would forget them very quickly if you don't write it down. So I think, that, you know, just to give Aurora a piece of advice is, you know, have a notepad beside your bed on the nightstand or a voice recorder or something. And if you do have a dream of your loved one, record, and if you wake up, you'll probably remember it, but you have to get it down on paper. Otherwise, you'll forget it. And it happens.
Yep. Even if you have to draw a picture.
Yeah, draw a picture.
I've drawn pictures before. I'd be like, I know I dreamt this, and I'll draw a picture, and I'll draw the characters in the picture instead of the storyline itself.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. I mean, I've also had it twice happen where I've had an OBE where I've actually seen myself floating out of my body, and it's happened twice in my life. And those
Roman, you are so lucky.
Yeah, it was crazy. It's a consciousness where your mind is still conscious, but your body falls asleep. So it's such a rare occurrence where that happens. And there's experts in that. There's a couple of books. Bryce, something like that. Anyways, William Buhlman is a really good author on that. He trains people how to do it, but it takes a lot of training and dedication to get there. Twice. And the first time it happened to me, I floated about a foot out of my body. I saw my body like a foot or two below me. I freaked out and boom, you're right back in, you know?
Wow.
And the second time was, okay, this has happened before. And they were years apart. And the second time, I've had this before. And you feel this vibration, like this, your whole body just like vibrates, and then poof, you're floating just like that. It's this huge vibration, almost like an electric shock, and poof, you're floating. And the second time, I actually floated out of the roof of my house, and I saw my neighborhood, and going, wow, this is cool. And then I can't remember anything after that because I must have like freaked out and went right back into my body. But those are you know, and that's it's different. You know, the OBE and lucid dreaming are two totally different things.
Yes. I know that a lot of people will lucid dream. You know, if you wake yourself, I've heard if you wake yourself up in the middle of the night, you know, and try to stay awake for about 5 minutes and then go back to sleep, you can, in a sense, push yourself into a lucid dream. I've heard that many times. Out of body experiences, I don't know. I've never had one. Yeah. My oldest daughter used to do it all the time.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, the Department of Defense, you know, the men that stare at goats, there was a movie made about it. They were, you know, doing all this spying with, you know, they used that Geller guy. And, you know, it was taken quite seriously because there was a lot of evidence that, you know, that is real.
But you know what I find very interesting about all of that evidence and all the testing and everything that they've done, that even these out of body experiences, when you have them, there's not often very intense interactions with the loved ones like a medium gets. There's you know, it's more about interacting with others that are also in the out of body experience with you, which would be all living creatures, you know, not humans necessarily. But did you see that or notice that everything that was living was there?
No, because it was at night kind of thing. And
gotcha.
The non-living things like the house, the tree in my backyard, that was there. And you're absolutely right about, you know, it's doing the OBE thing. It's not a way to connect with spirit, I don't think. It's really just to prove that your body can serve, your spirit can survive without your body, outside your body. So that's what happens when you die. Your spirit goes on. You know what I mean? So that's what's important. That was the life-changing lesson for me, both those times that happened. So it
wasn't just amazing.
It happened twice to me. And yeah, I'm very grateful for that. And, you know, for me, that's enough. It's a little scary, but, you know, I think it, if it happens again, then, you know, I'll definitely.
My son had that once. We were pulling into the driveway and he was asleep. Mm-hmm. And he woke up and got out of the car. And then he looked at me like he had just woke up and got out of the car. And that's what he said. He's like, I just got out of the car. So he actually moved before his spirit moved.
Pretty interesting, huh?
Yeah, or his spirit moved before his body moved. Yeah. Whatever it was, it went twice, he said. He was like, he said he felt like he fell out of the car. Right. Like he was on the driveway.
Yep.
But he wasn't out of the car yet.
Crazy. I mean,
I was like, oh.
I mean, we science does not even know what consciousness is. They haven't even scratched the surface of that. They know, you know, just like on the TV, if you break a part of the TV, the weatherman will no longer appear on it. Does it mean the weatherman's dead? No. It means that the TV's broken. So, you know, when your brain's dead, doesn't mean what was your brain was receiving, because your brain is a receiver of consciousness. When your brain's dead, no, the consciousness is still there. It's just, you know, it's not being received in that physical brain anymore. So it's quite interesting.
Yep. Oh my gosh. We could do this for hours hours.
Yes, we could. But guess what? We're out of time.
Can
you believe how fast this hour went? Unbelievable.
Oh my gosh. Rebecca, this was so fun.
It was. And it was so interesting talking to you. It just flies. And, you know, last time you and I spoke was, I think, October of 2019.
Wow.
That's the last time you were on the show. So it's been a while. It's been a couple of years.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and time flies, you know, and when you get older, it flies faster.
Don't say that. I don't want to know. Lie to me.
Well, I've got a few years on you, Rebecca, so it's, you know, don't worry. You're still a spring chicken.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, well, listen, it was great talking to you, and thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
We're going to sign off now, but thank you for listening, and again, next Thursday will be another show with a different content, but I will talk to you guys and have this show next month. Thank you, everybody. Good night.